What's up, everybody? I'm JC.
I'm Brittany.
And you're listening to
Just Breathing Home Edition.
Yeah! Got it right that time. So what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Just Breathing Home Edition. This is a place where we talk about family, we talk about parenting, marriage, anything that has to do with things that go on inside the home and or that impact the home from outside sources. So tonight, I wanted to get into something that we mentioned in a previous Just Breathing Home Edition as a possible conversation topic. We're going to get into it tonight, and that is the conversation of homeschooling.
Yes.
This is something that we are fresh and new and still learning about. Right now we just started with our oldest son. This is the first year. He's what, a week out?
Yeah, he's got this week and then one more week.
One more week. Okay. So we're about 2 weeks out from completing our first year of homeschooling successfully. He has learned something, we hope. And yeah, we're going to get into a lot of the things that are in and around and all has to do with homeschooling. And I'm excited for this conversation because honestly, I was homeschooled. Now, I did go to public school for high school, went to college, so I have at least a little bit of framework of the other side.
Right.
You know, the public school system. I didn't go to private school or anything like that. So I kind of have come from both worlds, and you have just been public school whole way. So you came into this endeavor to homeschool our children completely unaware of anything that goes on within that. I was a little more optimistic about it. I was a little more calm about it because I'm like, yeah, I survived.
Yeah.
I learned things. I learned way more things.
You're very smart.
In homeschooling than I ever learned in public school. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into some of that tonight. But I just wanted to start out by just what caused, well, let's start with what caused you to gravitate towards homeschooling over sending our son to public school.
So that's a really good question. So I guess the first thing would be what started me in that direction was that you were homeschooled and that there was, I wouldn't call it pressure because that sounds negative, but like encouragement from family to like maybe homeschool my child. And so, but I was like, okay, so You know, I was thinking about it. But also, I know how much you got out of homeschooling. And so that also made me be like, yeah, you are so much smarter than I am. And I went to public school and I worked really hard. Like I got good grades and A's, like almost everything, and maybe B, some B's. But I don't remember anything.
She's still agitated about it.
I worked really.
I remember the class. The teacher, I don't forget your name.
I worked really hard.
Yeah, yeah.
How is it that I don't remember like anything?
Right.
Like that's really bad. Anyway, but you remember like all, you're always like talking about history or like something. And I'm just like, I know that I know that I should know this, but I don't.
Yeah.
And so that started me thinking about it, but I had been thinking about that before we even had kids. And then once we had kids, and then I just started to see like, you know, what kids are learning in public school. Not that it's not that public school isn't helpful. But I was just kind of like, yeah, I think that our children could really benefit from this one-on-one and me making sure they have like a full understanding of history and a full understanding of all of these things that I want to teach them.
Right.
That they might not get in public school and they won't get as much attention in public school just because you can't with a class full of kids, you just can't do that.
Yeah.
So that's what started me thinking about it. But then what actually made me make that decision was, so I had been praying about it for a while, and I decided that is the best thing for us to do. And then, but there were, you know, with me, you know, I'm always thinking financial, like financially wise, you know, things.
Yeah, and Brittany is the financial fiduciary in our household.
So anyway, coming up to, so this was in, I guess, 2020? Yes, in 2020, the beginning of 2020, I was thinking maybe we would just send Brahm to kindergarten for the first time. That way I could work extra hours, pay off things in any way. But anyway, God worked it out that he was like, no, no. He basically stopped me in my tracks. I won't go into all the details, but it is a cool story.
We've talked about it in the past too. Yeah.
Anyway, God was like, no, no, I want you to do this. And so that was encouraging to me because I was like, okay, this really is where God's leading, because he just put everything in place, and it would have been obviously me just disobeying if I didn't.
Right.
And so that was cool. So that was encouraging to me. So that's what got me into this place. Did that answer?
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting too, because when we were making this decision, there was a strong leaning for a while, not only because of finances, but because of Brahm's personality. Mm-hmm. He thrives with other children.
Yes.
He loves being around other children, and he loves doing all the interactions and the learning that takes place in those settings. Mm-hmm. So we were hesitant about doing homeschooling because we're like, are we taking away from some of the social aspects that he would be gaining?
And loving.
Yeah, and loving in public school.
Yeah.
Now, praise God, this decision was made pre-COVID.
Well, yeah, well, kind of.
A little bit. It was overlapping.
Yeah, it was overlapping.
But we didn't know that public schools were going to go completely virtual.
We didn't know that. Yeah. We didn't know that when before the decision was made. Yes.
Yeah.
So we made the decision before we knew that. And then thankfully, I mean, public schools did go virtual. Right. So it would have been homeschooling anyway.
Right. So the struggle that we were up against of whether we were taking away from those social aspects wouldn't have been there anyway.
Yeah.
So it was very providential. It was a very prayer-filled, prayer-answered move to decide to homeschool. Yeah. And it was so cool too, just the ways, what were you going
to
say?
Because I wanted to say this in the beginning, but I forgot because I was thinking of other things. But the only other reason I was leaning against homeschooling in the very beginning, when like before we even had kids, the thought of that scared me was that I am not that like knowledgeable. Mm. And so I was like, and I don't know if that holds other people back from homeschooling, but I was like, I am not really that smart. To teach my child, I'm like if they're gonna, like, I don't want them to get to my point. Like, I want them to surpass me. But then I realized that, first of all, I'm going to have curriculum that has all the answers. Like, it's going to teach them. Like, I'm teaching them, but it's not just from my head. It's like from the curriculum I buy.
Right.
So if I buy good curriculum, they're going to get a good education. Mm-hmm. And then also you learn with them, which is actually even better because now you can talk about it with them as they grow, and they can actually bring it into their lives. Whereas if they're going to public school and they're learning stuff, I'm not going to know about it. Mm-hmm. And when they talk about it with me, I'm going to be like, that's nice.
Right. And you don't know remember. The subject matter around.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then they don't even get to talk about it at home and learn more at home. So go ahead. Sorry.
Which ultimately was the entire purpose of public schools, you know, especially in the very early stages of, you know, the government funding the education so that anyone and everyone can get a public education.
That's interesting. I never thought of it that way, but that's...
I mean, it's a great idea. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a fantastic idea to make sure that everyone receives basics.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I love the idea of public school, but culturally, we've moved out of a realm of where there was also training and teaching happening within the household, you know, within the family units, especially when we were more of an agricultural-based society. So you had kids working on the farms, going to school, coming back, working on the farms, and they were getting a trade, and they were getting life lessons that were happening at home. You just don't have that as much anymore. So it's hard to, like you said, keep a tab or keep a tap on, you know, what your kid's learning, how they're progressing, what things maybe they're lagging behind other kids on.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know unless you're in the classroom to know, like, oh man, I need to devote some additional attention outside of public school on this subject.
Yes.
So that my kid stays with the other kids.
Yes.
So a lot of benefits to just in there that led us to do the homeschooling. Mm-hmm. I want to get into a lot of other factors, but I kind of want to just start with destroying some of the stigmas.
Oh yeah.
I think it's necessary to begin this podcast by destroying some of the stigmas that surround homeschooling.
That's a good
point. So number one, let's destroy the stigma of homeschooling being a part of a religious, I don't know. What would you even say? A religious need or bent
mandate.
Yeah. That is causing people to want to homeschool their kids.
Yeah.
I want to say first and foremost, that's a lie. Because if you actually look at the percentages of people that have started homeschooling, especially in 2020, mm-hmm. I'm going to promise you that it's not for religious reasons.
Right, right.
You know, people just had to make some hard decisions. Some people had to quit their jobs, you know, and especially in two family situations mm-hmm, where mm-hmm. they're like, we got to make this change.
Yes.
I don't like what the virtual school system is offering to my kids. When people started seeing teachers on the Zooms and the teachers were just kind of lackadaisical to the education mm-hmm. that they were giving to the children, they were kind of like, nah,
yeah,
not doing this.
Yeah.
I'm not really answering the religious question though. There definitely is a religious factor for many people for homeschooling their kids because they know that they're going to be taught things that just don't jive maybe with their religion.
Mm-hmm.
So that definitely can be a factor, but it's not really a factor that
it's not, I think. So I don't know as much about this particular subject, but the people I know who homeschool their kids are mostly doing it because they want their kids to get a really good education.
Mm-hmm.
And they want their kids to learn, have a more, I don't want to say open-minded because I don't think that's the right word, but a more wholesome understanding.
Well-rounded.
Thank you. A more well-rounded understanding of history and of, just everything. I feel like sometimes in public school, it's very like just narrow mm-hmm. and they don't let room for more creativity or more
nuanced conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's what I found. And so a lot of my friends are Christians because I'm a Christian and that's partly why
that happens.
It just happens. That's the way it happens. But it's not like they got to church and church was like, you need to homeschool your kids. It's not like that. I don't know if that helps answer the question, but.
No, but I just wanted to kind of bring it there because that's what a lot of people think. They're just thinking it's these nutso religious people that want to homeschool their kids and these kids aren't actually getting a proper education at home, you know, because it's just these religious fanatics that are indoctrinating these kids. And probably the case.
In some cases.
You know, I'm not gonna like list out any denomination or sects of pseudo Christianity that might be engaging in some of these decisions, but that definitely wasn't a factor for us homeschooling. It wasn't a factor for my mom mm-hmm. when she decided to homeschool me.
Yeah,
a lot of it actually stems from. For me personally, I'll go into, you know, I went to first grade, went to kindergarten and first grade public school. First grade, I was getting into fights. I was 100% on my way to receiving a IEP with an ADHD diagnosis. So then I would have been medicated for hyperactivity.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents had nothing against medications. They had, at that time, there wasn't really a lot of science out on the effects of these things, mm-hmm. but they just said, hey, maybe this is a better route.
Right.
let's, you know, he's getting into a lot of trouble. I was always sitting next to the teacher, Miss Jones. I remember her vividly. And it was just a more pragmatic decision to homeschool.
Yeah.
So that I would be taking out of that environment. I was involved in like four different sports at the time. So the social factor wasn't an issue for me.
Yeah.
I was constantly being socialized with sports and church and, you know, all of these other things. So that was the major factor for that. And, you know, for our kids, I would say the majority of the reason for us deciding to homeschool our kids was what you talked about, a more well-rounded education. I know from personal experience also that when I went to public school, I stopped learning. Now, some of that is classroom sizes. Mm-hmm. I went to a big high school, so classroom sizes were maxed out. I went to a school where standardized testing was what you taught towards.
Yes.
So you weren't teaching for learning. You were teaching for the standardized testing so that the school got more funding.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I didn't understand all of those factors, obviously, while I was in it. You know, I just played the game. And the game is you study for the test, you get good grades on the test, you get a good grade for the class.
Yeah.
Now, I was a good memorizer, so I did okay in school. I didn't try super hard, you know, but I did okay. And my grades were not straight A's like they were for you. So when I say I didn't try that hard, it was reflected.
Right.
You know, but I didn't learn anything. I mean, literally the only things that I remember are some of the movies that I watched in classrooms, which is hilarious because we had homework.
Yeah.
We had homework in public schooling, which I never had in homeschooling. Yeah. I would usually be done the homeschooling by lunchtime.
Right. Right.
And I had the same exact amount of material, you know, especially because I was homeschooled in New Jersey. And New Jersey is a little more lackadaisical in terms of, you know, tracking your movements and what education, you know, you're giving to your children, as opposed to Pennsylvania, which is much more strict. You have to really list it out, get it certified, all this type of stuff. But, you know, my mom still put me in New Jersey, it was called Iowa testing.
Okay.
And these were basically like standardized testings for you to see like what grade levels your kids were at in different subjects.
Yeah. And homeschooling, you still have to have your kids registered for those at certain grades. I think it's like third and seventh or something like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, my mom was able to still see, you know, where I was. And what was the amazing thing, and I don't want to get off track too much, but like I was reading at least three grade levels above.
Awesome.
You know, in terms of reading, in terms of reading comprehension, in terms of usually not math, you know, in terms of just, I'm trying to remember what other aspects were on the test. Knowledge of science, you know, those related fields, I was usually three grade levels above.
That's awesome.
And I didn't progress in that same way when I went to public school. And that has always stayed with me.
That's,
you know, so that fact really influenced. I never pushed you because you were still working at the time.
Right.
I didn't want to push you. I was working full time, so I wouldn't be able to give that up to homeschool the kids. So I knew it was going to be you.
Yeah.
And I knew all of your apprehensions about it.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to push you towards that. But I definitely was very positive.
Yeah.
In regards to homeschooling kids, because I know the positive impact it had on my life. So those are really the major factors that influence a lot of people, I believe, in homeschooling their kids.
Yeah.
A lot of personal experience, usually. You know, if you saw, you know, yourself go through public school and you're sitting there scratching your head, like, why didn't I learn anything? I mean, people that are introspective people are going to sit there and say,
Yeah.
You know, and who care about their kids are going to say, do I want to put my kids through that and hope for a different result?
Right.
That seems like lunacy. We have definitions on that.
Yeah.
You know, so that was really the major factor that influenced us into homeschooling our kids. And I want you to kind of talk about it because you're in there in the daily grind of it all. But what are you seeing through this first year of homeschooling?
So yeah, it's very, I just have to say this first. I am glad that we chose this.
Yeah.
I think it was the best choice we could have ever made for our children. And yeah, so Brom is very intelligent. That's another reason why I wanted to homeschool him, because I was like, he's going to just soak things up and I wanted to be really good and give him as much as he can tolerate. So anyway, homeschooling, it is awesome and a big challenge all at the same time, because now you are. Yeah. So you're responsible for his education and you have to make it fit into your day, and you have to try to make sure that you're not being too hard on your child.
Right. Because you're mom teacher.
Right. But at the same time, you want him to do really good, and you know he can do better than what he's doing a lot of times. And so you have to, like, it's a difficult line to walk, but it definitely is definitely worth it. But yeah, so basically it's been great in these ways. I'll say how it's been great and then how it's been challenging. So it's been great in that my kid is in kindergarten and he's reading chapter books.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. It's very cool to see him learn. It's cool to see him say things and talk about things, like, just in our everyday, not just during the homeschooling time, right, but just in the everyday. And I'm like, whose child are you? Like, yeah. Like, wow, that just came out of your mouth, or that you just made that, you know, observation is really cool. Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm not doing a very good job here, but.
What do you mean? On the positives?
No, just like on trying to, there is so much to, like, pull it into one to, like, just briefly explain it.
Oh yeah.
But
we've done a year of education.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a lot. That is a lot of material to work from.
But it's also cool that, here is another positive that, and your mom had said this before, you get this curriculum, right, that you're going to teach your child, mm-hmm. and, like, you go through it.
Right.
Like, you don't skip anything. Like, you know, you think back of when you were in school, public school, if you went to public mm-hmm. school, and, like, you, like, read parts of chapters and parts of the book. And
usually you didn't actually get through a textbook.
And that, no, you never got through a textbook.
And that's not even, like, you slacking.
That's no,
like,
that's just them.
The education that, like, you received in those classes only did, you know, a quarter
of
those textbooks.
And then you have some worksheets that you do on your own. And
they're like, environmental science, done.
Right. You hope that that's right, whatever you put on the worksheet. And, you know, you're looking for words in there that are highlighted in your textbook. You know, that's easy. That one's highlighted. But no, this, you go through the entire book and you're specifically asking the child those questions in it. And you know if they didn't listen. So next time, you know how to change the scenario, maybe. So that's really cool. It also is cool, like we had said before, to see the areas where maybe they're advancing and you can just kind of give them extra stuff, or where they're struggling and you know that you need to be more patient in those areas and take more time in those areas. And then also just in your everyday, when things come up that go along with what you've been learning, and you can be like, look at this. Like, the other day we learned about different kinds of plants and a specific dragon tree, and, like, we didn't know what it was, so we looked it up, we saw a picture of it, and then that day we went to an office and I brought actually my daughter with me, who she was just learning with us even though she's not in kindergarten yet, and I was like, that is a dragon tree.
Yeah.
And we, like, took a picture of it with Addie in front of it, and it was so cool. Like, we had just learned about this Sessions lady who had planted these types of trees in California, and it was just really cool.
Yeah.
And we got to experience that all together. And Brom was like, you did. And then I showed him this picture, and that was just cool. So those are some of the positives. And I would say the challenges, and I wouldn't call them negatives because they're just challenges.
They're just hurdles you
have
to get over.
They're just hurdles. And you would have that in the public school system too. Mm-hmm. And so that's just getting your child to sit and actually do the work sometimes because they are at home and they want to just go play.
Right.
But in a positive light, when you know that they're at their max, you can just let them go play for 15, 20 minutes and say, I'm going to have you back in 20 minutes. But if they need to run around, then that's, I can do that. But yeah, I would say mostly just getting them to sit. Also, the subjects that they struggle with, because you're their mom, they just are kind of like, I don't want to do this. And they kind of melt down. So you right. definitely have meltdowns, and you have to get past that, and you have to try to stay calm. And
yeah, it's so you're unsure if this would happen in a public school environment.
Yeah. Yeah.
It does happen. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it would happen with our kids. Maybe they would be angels
right.
with their teachers.
Right.
But because you're mm-hmm. mom, mm-hmm. they feel like they can say certain things, they can do certain things,
yes.
get away with certain things.
Right.
And yeah, switching those teacher mom hats
yeah.
is not an easy endeavor.
It's not. It's
definitely not.
And it's also another challenge is when not only with the meltdowns, but sometimes the meltdowns come because of this, but when you see that your child is just kind of like doing it just to get it over with.
Yeah, that's difficult.
And it's poor. It's like poor work. Mm-hmm. And you're like, this is not acceptable. Like, you are capable of very good work. And
yeah.
this is poor. Yeah. And Ron does not like that sometimes.
Yeah. But that's where the mom-teacher dynamic is so, so helpful.
Yes.
Because you do not get that in public school.
Right, right. They don't have time for that or
energy
for that.
They don't have time for that. They're trying to get, you know, this kid that had nothing, you know, when they came into kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're still learning shapes.
Yeah.
You know, they're still
yeah.
learning to count.
Right.
Properly. You know, and that's a reality.
Mm-hmm.
That's a reality of life, you know. But you, as the mom, you know all of these
yeah,
things.
Yeah,
you know where they're at, what level they're at, you know, yeah. their capabilities, and there's no excuses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no getting away from that. Yeah. Yeah, it's so crazy, too. I was actually surprised by this, and, you know, I'm a huge believer in homeschooling.
Mm-hmm.
I know the type of education that I received. I know the type of education. There are people that are 1,000 times smarter than me that went through homeschooling.
Mm-hmm.
So I know the positive elements of the actual education that you're receiving. But I was so surprised at the material that our oldest is learning now.
In kindergarten, yeah.
Because I think back to kindergarten and I remember recess, and recess.
Yeah.
I think we did some hand painting.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything
yeah.
else
mm-hmm.
in that part of my education.
Right, right.
I only remember
yeah. in elementary school, like when I was really, really young, is music class.
Yeah, but
that's all I remember.
And that's even a couple grades from now.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? Yeah, he's not even in first grade yet.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's so interesting because, yeah, I mean, I think back to first grade when I was in public school still, and I remember recess, lunch, I only remember negatives.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I remember getting into it with people on the bus.
Mm.
I remember sitting next to Miss Jones, you know,
yeah.
pulling up my desk to sit next to Miss Jones. And I remember a confrontation between Miss Jones and my parents.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember that?
I do.
Do you
I
know
do
that
remember
story?
Your mom telling me about
oh,
that.
Oh, my gosh.
I would have pulled you out and homeschooled
you, too.
So
let me just say this, and this will coincide with our case for homeschooling over public school. So I sat in a classroom in first grade, and on the walls all around us were illustrations of plants and numbers and planets and the alphabet and all of these education material that you're supposed to see, put into your brain, and then hopefully that'll come out as a part of your education.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the pictures that I stared at, because it was over on that side of the room and I was over next to Miss Jones, who sat right here on the room. I was right next
yeah,
to her.
Yeah.
I saw a 9. And this 9 had a curve.
Yeah. That's how most of them are written.
And if anybody's ever seen a nine, it goes up, then it curves down at an angle. But for some reason, our politicians decided that it was so necessary. Maybe it was the school board. I don't know who to blame. I was in first grade. But they decided that instead of an angle on that nine, you had to draw the circle and come straight down.
That was super important.
It was super important. And Miss Jones made sure I knew that I was doing it incorrectly.
And she told.
And I would point to the picture on the wall of the nine with the curved line at the bottom. But she said, no, this is the way that they want you to do it. I don't know who they are. Deep state. I don't know. Military industrial complex. I don't know who's behind it. Okay. But it was very important for me to make a straight line for that nine. So my parents ended up at one of the parent-teacher conferences getting into this big confrontation with her.
This is the most ridiculous thing.
It wasn't crazy or violent or yelling or anything like that, but they could not understand
right.
how you could have an illustration on the wall and then expect a kid to not draw. Because right. at first grade, all you're doing is replicating.
Yes, yes.
You don't know how to do any of this stuff. Mm-hmm. You're just drawing.
Right.
That's the only thing I knew how to do right. at that age. I knew how to count and I knew how to draw.
Right.
You know, copy things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my nine story.
Yeah, I remember your mom saying that the teacher was like, well, he's not doing his nines right.
Yeah.
She explained it to
and
her.
This was the thing yeah. that had to be brought up at a parent-teacher yeah. conference.
And she explained it to her, and your mom was like,
he's struggling.
Yeah. Like, what? It's up there.
Yeah.
The way he's drawing it is right. Just like that. That's funny.
Yeah.
But I want to say, because of that, so one of the things we have been learning in homeschooling is there's a lot of brilliant, brilliant people that went to public school and the teachers told them or like had trouble with them
right.
or were like, you're not that smart. You're not yeah. going to amount to anything. And their parents were wise enough to pull them out and say, no, I think that you're wrong or don't call my child stupid.
Right.
And then those kids flourished. Yeah. They were probably a little quirky because they were so smart.
Right.
But they delved into what they were interested in and they became like brilliant people that helped the world.
Yeah. Most of the scientists, the Albert Einsteins, the, you know, writers like Mark Twain, I forget his real name. But a lot of these guys went through this. And then a lot of them, we found out later, I don't know how we found this out after they died, but we suspect that a lot of them were on the spectrum. They either had, you know, autism or they had Asperger's or something mm-hmm. along those lines that made them so incredibly intelligent in certain fields.
Right.
So yeah, it is so necessary to do it on a case by case basis. And if you're feeling like your kid is not getting the education that is needed or that, you know, they deserve mm-hmm. for their mental prowess, it's your responsibility as the parent yeah. to make some hard decisions.
Yeah.
If you can, I understand it's difficult.
Right. It is difficult.
Mm-hmm. It is very difficult. But like, if you can, your children, like we say a lot on these podcasts, they are priority.
Yeah.
They are the most important thing. You decided to bring a kid into the world. It is your responsibility to make sure that their education,
yeah.
that their, you know, learning of this world,
yes.
their ability to exist in this world as a, you know, coherent member of society is looked after.
Yeah.
That's so necessary.
And something to just encourage people. And what I've been learning, it's been very humbling actually, is that like your kid is smart and is very talented in a certain way, even if you're having trouble seeing it. And, what's been interesting to see is how to help them flourish. So like, for example, there was something that we just actually learned about today about this one lady called Mrs. Hopper, but whatever. When she was a kid, she was like taking apart this clock and she couldn't put it back together. She wanted to put it back together. So she's like, well, I just need another template. So she's like seven at this time. So she like goes and takes another clock apart. And then she ends up taking eight clocks apart to try to, she just needed to figure it out, right? She's 7 years old. So now me, if I was the mom, I would have freaked. I would have flipped out and been like, what in the world are you doing? I would have been so angry. But this mom didn't freak out. And she understood that her child wanted to figure it out. And anyway, I say that because we as parents, and I'm talking mostly to myself, but we have to calm down and understand that our kids, they're trying to figure stuff out.
Right.
And if we can let them just flourish and help them and understand what it is that they're trying to figure out or what they're trying to learn or what it is that they're so passionate about, they can become great at things. Mm-hmm. Like this lady, she ended up becoming this great computer programmer.
Oh,
that
wow.
like did amazing things in the Navy for World War II. And they ended up, she was like worked till she was 80. They like, she retired and they called her back and she worked another 20 years. But what I'm saying is if we stifle that, and I feel like it gets stifled in public school sometimes. Mm-hmm. If we stifle that and we try to put our child in the box that every other child is in, we could just be limiting them.
Right.
And not actually letting them like become that awesome person that they can be. And right. And I say that very full of grace because I'm the stifler. Mm-hmm. I like to put it in a box.
That's because you were put into a box.
I was put into a box
and forced to go through this education system that was trying to put you on track for a certain career path.
Right. Which might be great for some people.
And it works out for some people. Mm-hmm. But we have, 350 million people in this country. Yeah. It's not going to work out great for everybody. And that's the difficulty with public schooling is that it lacks the ability to pivot.
Mm-hmm.
There's no ability to pivot when you have a curriculum and you have a structure and you're gearing these children to exist in this structure that is trying to point them to another structure in the workplace.
Yeah.
And it's excluding a lot of other opportunities that are available to them that we just never explore.
Right. For them to learn better too.
Right.
Like some people can't just sit all the time at a desk and learn that way. There's just, everyone has different ways of learning things too, which is.
And I'm such a big proponent. I love Mike Rowe. He's like the Dirty Jobs guy from Discovery Channel. Well, he was a Discovery Channel. And, his whole focus is making funds available for people to pursue other means of education outside of college. So he wants people to be able to get into different trade schools that are available to, go and do apprenticeships, to learn trades.
That used to be such a big thing. I don't know why we don't do that very much anymore.
I don't know either. And it's so frustrating because those trades are essential to daily life.
Mm-hmm.
And
you learn so much better when you're an apprentice than you do learning from a book and then just being thrown into that job.
Exactly. Most people, like you think of plumbers, you think of electricians, you think of just people that do such essential tasks to all of the buildings and all of the things that we exist in and don't really think about because we don't have any knowledge of how to fix the light switch if it went out. These used to be trades that people apprenticed in so that they could be experts in.
Yeah.
But a lot of times people are thrust into these, like, the corporate jobs didn't work out. Whatever, industry that they tried to get into after they got a business degree or, a psychology degree and didn't feel like going for the master's or, whatever line you went down in terms of college didn't prepare you for the real world enough. And those jobs didn't work out. Now you're like, well, I could be this electrician. They pay well.
Mm-hmm.
And you were never told about these opportunities that pay very well.
Right. And that very you well. Aren't going to run out of a job.
But now you've totally lost out on all of this education that you could have been receiving at a trade school or in an apprenticeship and become an expert at these things. It even made even more money, making yourself just invaluable or indispensable to society. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I definitely, along with the homeschooling and making sure I am instilling in my kids,
yes,
is that college is fine, mm-hmm, if you have to.
Right.
I'm not going to push my kids, right, to college. You know, we're in the generations where more of us have gone to college than any previous generation, mm-hmm, before. Before it was like so few people went to university.
Yeah.
That it was such a prized endeavor,
yeah,
for parents to push their kids to university.
Yeah.
You know, but nowadays everyone and their mother,
yeah,
has a college degree.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I could get into some things that I'm not going to get into that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's just, there's, it's so easy nowadays. It's almost comical.
Yeah.
People aren't actually being educated to a point where they can actually exist properly within workplaces anymore.
I feel like college and university was originally supposed to be for if you really actually needed to learn this information in order to go further in something, whether, yeah, it was being a doctor or
a lawyer.
Yeah. But now it's just like, oh, well, you have to go to college. And then after you've spent all that money and wasted all that time, then you need to make, yeah, sure you get a job in that or figure out what you want to do with your life. And you're just like, yeah, and it's the pressure is real, man.
We all went to college.
Yeah.
Pressure's real.
Yeah. But I definitely want our kids, like if they, like I see Brahm maybe going to college, but I want them to figure out what
she's
they
love.
She's
not calling all their kids stupid.
No, I'm not. I'm just knowing he does enjoy that. Just, I don't know. I can envision him more doing that, but yeah, I want them to know that like they have time, like,
right,
figure out what you love and then pursue that. If that leads you to college, then you're going to want to go to college.
Yeah. I remember even some of the pressures of when I took a year off,
mm-hmm,
and I just worked.
Yeah.
I just wasn't, I was in a major. I think I changed majors.
I don't remember that. Did you do that?
Yeah. Yeah. So when I first went to college, I went to college for kinesiology. Mm-hmm. So that's like, you know, become a physical therapist or to become, you know, some type of sports related person, mm-hmm, fitness person, and was like, yeah, that's not for me. Once I actually got into it. So then I did, I think, business for a little bit. Cause I think, okay, everybody turns to business at one point or another, mm-hmm, in their college experience. And then I took my first economics class and I was like, nope. Uh-uh. So after that, I was just like, I don't know what I'm doing. So I took a year in between that and music school.
I knew you then, right?
I don't think you did.
Because I knew you when we were dating
maybe
we were dating when you went to music school.
Yeah. Okay.
That's weird. I don't know where I met you in there.
Yeah. At one point in there I took a year and just worked full time. I don't know. I don't remember when it was.
Maybe
I went to college for like 5 years.
Was it after the music school?
Maybe.
I think maybe it was after.
Could be.
I don't know. It doesn't matter, but
yeah.
I don't remember that. That's kind of funny.
Yeah. Oh, I don't remember most of that experience. It was, yeah, 5 years of my life. I ended up in a major that I really loved. I really loved the learning that I was able to. I think this is what I loved about it. There was teachers in this major that were passionate about their subject, you know, about the major itself.
Yeah.
And that is invaluable. Yeah. You don't get that in public school. Mm-hmm. There was no teacher throughout high school that was passionate about their subject.
Yeah.
And that's something that's really cool about homeschooling too, to kind of bring it back to that, is there is stuff that you just have to learn. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to learn some of the material in the homeschooling, but sometimes you can get on to a subject that you're like, ooh, I know something about this, or ooh, I just heard something about this, or ooh, I know somebody that knows more, mm-hmm, about this, mm-hmm, that I can now instill into my child, and they can love this aspect of their education.
Yes.
Like history. I was a history fanatic, not because of my public education. Most of it was because of the homeschooling I received and just the breadth of the history that we went through mm-hmm. in homeschooling was crazy. And then you were reading very, very, classical books mm-hmm. that were related to these subjects. So then it broadened your imagination about the history that you were learning, and you were digging into, subject matter that isn't just book material, isn't just summaries yes. of the events,
yes.
but it was actually, it felt real, and there was some storyline there, and there was characters. Mm-hmm. And I really loved that. High school, I had some good history teachers, but it was very textbook.
Yeah.
And then, so then I had to pursue other ways of loving history again, you know, and thankfully back then the History Channel was not just a bunch of random shows like it is now, but it was actually very history centric.
Yeah.
I watched every Ken Burns documentary.
Oh, that guy. Oh my goodness.
I mean, those are, I don't even know how long his documentaries are.
They just go on.
They go on and on, but there's so much personality in them. Mm-hmm. There's so much depth to the history that makes it just, invaluable for life.
Yes.
History is invaluable mm-hmm. because obviously we say it 1,000 times, but it's a true statement. If you don't know history, you don't know how to learn from it.
Yeah.
And we're in that predicament today.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so things like that, are so invaluable when it comes to homeschooling
yes.
to just be able to branch out into other ways, even outside of the material, if it avails itself.
Yes.
Like, that's so cool.
Yeah.
That's so cool. What other aspects of homeschooling? I would be interested to know, because I don't think we've ever talked about this, what perceptions did you have on homeschooling
before
ever having kids or ever considering homeschooling?
I always thought that homeschool kids, I were just so awkward.
Okay.
And I was like, that was like, if you're homeschooled, it's inevitable. You're going to be awkward, which is funny that I say that.
It's true.
It's funny,
to a certain extent.
It's funny that I say that because I am awkward and I went to public school. So I don't think that's always true. And I know it's not always true because I have, you're my husband and you are totally outgoing.
Right.
Not awkward at all. And then I have other friends that were homeschooled and they are also not awkward at all.
Right.
I did know some homeschooled kids, like when I was in public school, there was like one that would come to do like the plays and he was very like, I wouldn't say awkward, just very shy and timid, mm-hmm. probably because it was intimidating. So that was mostly my perceptions of it.
Right.
I didn't actually know that many kids when I was younger that were homeschooled, but, as talking about deciding, as I got older and I met you and then I had other friends that married homeschooled children, well, they weren't children then, they were adults, they were also smart. Like all the homeschooled people I knew were like the smartest people ever. They like knew their history. They like knew what was going on in the world. They had a good, understanding of how what was happening like applied to them,
right?
And just very perceptive and wise and just street smart, I guess you could say, mm-hmm. too. And I was like, I'm not like that.
Well, I think some of those factors, like street smarts, you don't think that in association with homeschoolers.
Right, right.
You think of awkward kid that sits in a corner reading Harry Potter.
Yes, yes.
I knew those kids. but the more socialized you were, the better mm-hmm. when it comes to those types of things. But also, one of the coolest things that I will always remember while being homeschooled was the ability, and this kind of goes back to the history, mm-hmm. but was the ability to learn about certain subjects and then go, especially if it was American history related, mm-hmm. and then go to those places.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be cool.
So to learn about Gettysburg and then go to Gettysburg.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then stand on the battlefield and, go up Little Round Top.
Yes.
And, all of those things were mind blowing.
Right. Like, wow, this is where it actually happened. Yeah.
It just brings it into reality. Mm-hmm. You know, it just completely opens your mind to the fact that this isn't just text.
Yes.
This is real.
Yeah.
And that was an ability as a homeschooler that you have to just do those things.
Yes.
On a whim. Mm-hmm. You know, like my mom would just be like, you know what would be really cool? Instead of just learning this, we can read this text in the car while we drive to Gettysburg.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we did that with so many different things. You know, I think of right now, our son in kindergarten is reading an abridged version of Anne of Green Gables. Mm-hmm. And Anne of Green Gables is a book that takes place, I think, in Prince Edward Island.
Yes.
Yeah, Prince Edward Island. So in Canada. And one of the coolest things was, now I didn't read that book as a homeschooler, but I watched those movies because my mom was a big fan of those movies and the books. But then we got to go
through,
you know, through Maine, through Nova Scotia to Prince Edward Island and actually see kind of the birthplace of the writer.
That is
of
cool.
Anne of Green Gables.
Yeah.
You know, so just the ability for book to come to life.
Yes.
And live is such an invaluable thing that you really can't put a price on.
No.
And it's something that you can't really get because I went on public school field trips. Mm-hmm. It's different.
It is different. It's just like, oh yes, we don't have to be in school today. That's what it is. It's like, let's do something new.
Yeah.
You're not like, I don't remember learning anything ever on my
field because
trip.
you're in a crowd. If you aren't caring what the teacher is saying, you're just chit-chatting with your friends in the back. And that's what I did. And you know, so the teacher is like in a monotone voice explaining what we're seeing. You know, we are at the Lincoln Memorial.
You're just concerned if you're going to like get partnered up with the person you want to be partnered up with on the bus.
True.
Or like in that you get to eat with the people you want to eat with at lunch. And
true.
You don't care what she's saying.
Yeah.
That's at least that was my experience.
No, that's true. No, it's very true. It's very true. And everybody that went to public school is shaking their heads like this right now. Yeah. Yeah. So there's so many cool aspects to homeschooling. And I found it really disheartening, you know, at the beginning of the pandemic, I guess a few months into it, to be more accurate, in the Harvard newspaper, there was a writer that wrote just this scathing editorial on the dangers of homeschooling.
Oh, wasn't that like a few months before the pandemic?
No, I believe it was afterwards because I think there was a lot of virtual learning going on and there was an influx of people that began homeschooling their kids. I'm pretty sure I could be wrong about that. But just the fact that you have such disdain in the public school system with a lot of teachers of homeschooling, you have this sort of elitism that like, oh, we went to college. And we were trained for this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we should be the ones educating your kids.
Yeah.
One, screw off. Because you're not my kid's parent.
Yeah.
I will educate my kids.
Right.
Because I have the most desire for their success.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see 30 new kids, you know, every year or more.
Right.
As the classes cycle. But like, you only can care so deeply for each one of those individuals.
It should be like a positive thing. Like, oh, that's good that you're going to take time out of your day to really care for your child. And that will help me better care for like one less to help teach them better.
But instead we get these scathing things, how these kids are not receiving proper education. You know, they're getting indoctrinated with these, you know, old timey religious, you know, ethics, God forbid. God forbid we had some ethics and virtue in our country. You know, just...
I think it goes back...
They're not going to be socialized properly. They just go down the list of all the stigmas that are attached to homeschooling that if you actually looked at the data of people that are skipping grades, that are going to college at the age of 16, 17. Mm, mm-hmm. If you look at all of the factors that are related to the standardized testing and the scores of homeschoolers when they have to take those standardized testings, as opposed to those that we have, I'm sorry, we have children in eighth grade in inner cities that can't read.
I still can't fathom that quite.
Look it up. And if you don't believe me, look it up. Don't just get all like antsy about it and be like, that's not true. Yeah, it is.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. There are children that cannot read by high school and are just being pushed through and are graduating because they need that funding. They need to see that children are graduating from their high school so they can get funding. I'm sorry. When money gets involved, it really destroys a lot of the fabric of a good idea. And right now, I do believe that our education system, both, you know, in terms of public schooling and in terms of college, are fueled and motivated by money. And that's another factor that you don't get when you're homeschooled.
Yeah.
You pay for the curriculum.
Yeah.
You pay for the field trips. You pay. Mm-hmm. So then you have an onus to actually care about what you're doing.
Right.
In those things that you paid for. You're not going to waste that time.
Right, right.
Whereas there's no incentive, especially when these teachers are unionized and they're not afraid of losing their jobs because, hey, I took this position in this really hard neighborhood, or I took this position, you know, here and I have seniority or tenure or whatever you call it. Like, what are you going to do to me? Fire me? And then they don't take their job seriously. And then the education of the children that they are investing in suffers.
Right. Right.
That's so that's another little tidbit of some of my issues with the public school system outside of personal experience.
Right.
I didn't experience a lot of those factors. Mm-hmm. I was in a very good school with good teachers.
Yeah.
Good teachers. I didn't have any great teachers.
I think the majority of teachers are, well, I shouldn't say this because I don't actually know, but I think the majority of teachers go in with good intent, but it is hard.
Yeah.
But I think the struggle is they're so overworked and pressured with the standardized test, and there's just so much that goes into it that they lose their passion.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
They lose their passion 100%. To just care about the kids and teach them.
And that's why I'm not attacking teachers.
Yeah.
I'm attacking the institutions in which these teachers have to work.
Yeah.
And these institutions are fueled and motivated by money.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's going to trickle down into productivity reports that the teachers need to maintain, and they need to see certain data in the grades that these students are receiving. So obviously, you're going to lower your expectations for students in order to make sure that your classes look like they're doing well.
And that's exhausting. That would be exhausting. Oh, my goodness.
Well, and it's exhausting because of the lack of integrity that's involved in having to do those types of things. Mm-hmm. You know, I find that with my job. You know, I work for a government agency, and in that government agency, there's a lot of money and federal funding that's involved, and that motivates a lot of the decisions that are being made and are trickled down to you, the worker.
Right.
And these decisions are never to take away work from you and make your job easier. They're always to add more little things that you have to pay attention to. And those things that you have to pay attention to changes on a monthly basis.
Oh, goodness.
You know, so money is a problem.
Yeah.
You know, it's a problem in government. Obviously, we've had those conversations, and it's a problem with our education system. Yeah. And one of the fixes to that is to remove yourself from it.
Mm-hmm.
Remove yourself from politics. Play more. We talked about that on the last Home Edition. Make sure that you're playing with other people. When you are engaging in fun activities with other people, the issues of the world grow strangely dim, to bring in a song, you know? It's the same thing with the education system. If you don't like some of the things that are being taught in the education system, if you don't like some of the things that are being done or not being done in the education system, maybe do something different.
Right.
Maybe pull out of that system.
Yeah.
And go into this other one that has a proven track record of creating well-educated, yes, well-rounded, well-suited for society, right, and future trade, mm-hmm, students.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think just a few more things that I wanted to say about homeschooling that is really cool is, as you teach your child, I think one of the things that I love, and I actually haven't been taking advantage of it as much as I should, but is that you can, if you give yourself enough time, mm-hmm, you can be more laid back in that when your child's like, whoa, this annoys me sometimes, but I actually should take it as a good thing. When they're like, whoa, that's really cool. And it's kind of off topic. Like, it's like the random thing in the story or the random thing in what you're trying to teach them. It's
that
like
jumps out at them.
That jumps out, okay, at them. It's not like the main point, which you're trying to get across to them, but it's like something random, but they're interested in it.
Yeah.
Like, I want to get better at doing this, and I think it's very beneficial for them. But just being like, okay. Yeah. And like just digging in a little bit more, because maybe that's something that later on in life, like, they're going to want to dig into.
True.
And they're just showing little sparks now that, mm, like that interests them. And that's another really cool thing that you can do when you homeschool.
Yeah.
Is those little things that you don't even get, because you're like, this is the main point, this is what you're supposed to get, they're catching on and they're really interested in.
Yeah.
And you can dig in deeper and then they learn more. And that's how they become the street smart. Because you start to, they're looking at all of it, and then they ask questions, and you can apply it to their world.
Well, and you don't even understand how impactful that is to teach them that it's okay to ask questions and receive answers about things they don't understand.
Yes, yes,
that's powerful.
That was the other thing that I was gonna say.
Yeah,
is I love being able to have the freedom to teach my kids to think for themselves. I'm very adamant about that. That was another reason why I wanted to homeschool, is because I want my kids to know how to say, I don't know if I agree with that. Mm. How do I find out if I do?
Right.
And to teach them how to figure it out for yourself.
Yeah.
Do your research. Like, don't just take what someone tells you and think it's true. Like, you don't know. If you want to question it, question it. Not that I'm making them like doubt the world, but I want them to be free.
Why not though?
I want them to be free to learn.
Right. Doubt is how you learn.
Yeah. I want them to be free to figure it out and not be, once again, I don't want to put them in a box.
Right.
So I want them to be free to ask questions and learn and know how to figure it out.
Right.
And not feel like they're stuck. Yeah. So that was
critical thinking, not critical theory. There's a difference. Critical thinking is the basis that has fueled all scientific research since the dawn of time.
Mm-hmm.
We would not know that we're revolving around the sun if there wasn't some critical thinkers that doubted the centricity of the earth.
Yeah, yeah.
And said, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me, looking at the planets with my naked eye, because I don't have telescopes back then, that we might not be at the center of this universe that we're a part of.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they didn't have any of those terms back then, which is why they were listed as lunatics and heretics and all of these types of things. But it's doubt that fuels knowledge.
Yes.
That fuels new understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's wonderful.
Yeah.
I think it's wonderful. So we're going to wrap it up here. Hope you all enjoyed this conversation on homeschooling. I think it is a virtuous and honestly, just a smart move. If you just come down to it, I think it's a smart move. If you have the ability to homeschool your kids, do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really, I wouldn't even like kind of shuck and jive with any arguments regarding it. I know the facts that are involved in the outcomes of those that are homeschooling as opposed to those that receive public education. And it's not even close.
Mm-hmm.
Not even close. So there's not really an argument that you can make for public schooling as opposed to homeschooling when you factor in all of the social things that you can, you know, avail your kids to, that they're not losing anything due to not being in public school. And we could just go over all the gains. So hope you understand where we're coming from in this, and that we don't hate public school. We understand the necessity of it, mm-hmm. and we understand that a lot of people can't do it. Mm-hmm. And we feel for you. And, you know, I either hope your situation changes, or I hope that in some way you got out of this conversation the fact that you really need to be involved outside of the school with your kids' education. You are their teacher. Mm-hmm. There's only so much that the public education can give to your kid. You are the primary teacher, though, that can really make them into the person that they're supposed to be for a functioning society. Mm-hmm. So have that focus with your kids. Yeah. So this is Just Breathing Home Edition. Just a reminder, this comes out on Mondays. We try to stay consistent with this. Just Breathing with Lawn and Lungs comes out on Fridays. And that's a different conversation. Those are usually either me and Britt, or I'll try to get somebody else in there to have a conversation with. And there, the conversation is more open. It's not topic-based. It's just having a conversation, and it'll go where it goes. But before you go, if you're watching this on YouTube, make sure that you hit the like button, that you hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell so you know when these videos come out. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, make sure that you rate and review, 5 stars only. And then follow us if you're listening to this on Spotify. If you listen to this on other places, I don't have those apps, so I don't know. yeah, hope you enjoy. And we'll see you on the next episode. Love you all. Bye.